Let me know when you're there. Baby, let's shake hands. So put your fingers in my hand, baby. Let's be friends.
We now invite you to the Voice of Russia's treasure store.
I couldn't get over my misfortune, and that evening I took to my bed. Reviewing all the circumstances, I now guessed that the young man's illness had been feigned. The doctor who had visited the hussar now assured me that the young man had been perfectly well, and that he had guessed his evil intentions at the time, but had said nothing for fear of the hussar's whip. Whether the German spoke the truth or not, or merely wished to show off his perspicacity, he didn't afford me the least consolation. Hardly had I recovered from my illness when I asked the authorities for 2 months' leave. And now, without a word about my intentions to anyone, I set off on foot to look for my daughter. From the ledger, I discovered that the hussar was a Captain Minsky and that he had traveled from Smolensk to St. Petersburg. The coachman who drove him said that Dunya had wept all the way, although apparently going of her own free will. And I thought, God willing, I shall bring my strayed lamb home. Inspired by this thought, I arrived in Petersburg. I put up at the barracks of the Ismailov Regiment, in the house of a retired non-commissioned officer, an old comrade in arms from the days of our military service. And from there, I began my search. I quickly discovered that Captain Minsky was in St. Petersburg, living at the Demutov Tavern. I determined to see him. Early in the morning, I arrived at the hussar's front door and requested the servant to inform his honour that an old soldier wished to see him. The servant, who was polishing a riding boot on a boot tree, told me that his gentleman was asleep and did not receive anyone before 11 o'clock. I went away and returned at the appointed hour. Minsky himself came out to me in his dressing gown and a crimson fez. "What can I do for you, my man?" he asked. My heart seethed with emotion. Tears welled up in my eyes, and I could only mutter in trembling accents, "Your Honor, for God's sake, Your Honor." Minsky cast a rapid glance at me, flushed crimson, took me by the hand, led me to his study, and locked the door from the inside. I told him, "Your Honor, what is lost is gone forever. But give me back my poor Dunya. You've had your joy of her. Don't ruin her for naught." He thrust something into my cuff, unlocked the door, and I, hardly knowing how, found myself in the street. I stood there motionless for a long time, and at last I noticed the bundle of paper beneath my cuff. I drew it out, and I unfolded several crumpled 5 and 10 ruble notes. Tears welled up afresh in my eyes, tears of indignation. I crumpled the notes into a ball, flung them to the ground, trampled them beneath my heels, and went away. I decided to go back to my posting station. But first, I wanted to see my poor Dunya, if only once. And so, 2 days later, I went to Minsky's quarters again. But the military servant now told me sternly that his gentleman received no one. He shouldered me out of the hall and slammed the door in my face. I stood outside for some time, and then I went away. That same evening, I was walking along Litaynaya Street, having attended a service at the Church of All Martyrs, when an elegant carriage dashed past me, and I recognized Minsky. The carriage stopped in front of a 3-story house, drawing up at the door, and the hussar leaped onto the porch. A happy thought passed through my mind. I went to the front door of the house and mounted the steps. The door was locked. I rang the bell and passed a few seconds in an agony of suspense. The key rattled in the lock and the door was opened. Without replying to the servant's questions, I entered the hall and walked on. The shouts of the servant followed me, but I wasn't listening to them. The first 2 rooms I passed through were in darkness, but there was a light in the third. I made for the open door and came to a stop. Minsky was seated, deep in thought, in a splendidly furnished room. Dunya, attired in the height of fashion, was perched on the arm of his chair, as if riding side saddle in the English manner. She was gazing tenderly at Minsky, twisting his black curls round her fingers, which gleamed with jewels. Never had my daughter seemed lovelier to me. I watched her with involuntary admiration. Suddenly, she raised her head and saw me. She fell on the carpet with a shriek. Minsky, alarmed, rushed to pick her up, but catching sight of me at the door, he left Dunya and approached me. He was shaking with rage, and, seizing me by the collar of my coat with a strong hand, he shoved me out onto the stairs. I went back to my lodging. My friend advised me to lodge a complaint, but after thinking it over, I dismissed the idea and decided to leave things as they were. 2 days later, I left Petersburg and went back to my posting station. There, I resumed my former work. And it's now almost 3 years since I've been living without Dunya, with never a word from her. Whether she's alive or dead, God knows. Anything is possible. She's not the first, and will not be the last, to be seduced by a passing scoundrel, to be first kept by him and then abandoned. There are plenty of young fools like her in Petersburg. Today, dressed up in satin and velvet, and tomorrow, look you, sweeping the crossings with the riffraff. Sometimes, when I think that Dunya may be languishing there, I can't escape the sinful wish that she were better off in her grave.
Such was the tale of my friend, the old postmaster. A tale constantly interrupted by tears, which he wiped away picturesquely with the hem of his coat. These tears were partially called forth by the punch, of which he imbibed 5 glasses in the course of his narrative, but they nevertheless moved me powerfully. After I took my leave of him, it was long before I could get the thought of the old postmaster out of my head, or stop thinking of the unfortunate Dunya. Not long ago, passing through the hamlet of X, I remembered my old friend. I learned that the posting station, which he had ruled over, no longer existed. No one could give me a satisfactory answer to the question, "Is the old postmaster still alive?" I felt a desire to visit the familiar parts, and hiring horses, drove to the village of N. It was autumn. The sky was covered with gray clouds. A cold wind was blowing from the empty cornfields, bearing red and yellow leaves from the trees in its passage. I arrived at the village just before sunset and stopped in front of the postmaster's house. A stout woman came out onto the porch, the porch where poor Dunya had once kissed me, and replied to my inquiries that the old postmaster had been dead a year, that his house now belonged to a brewer, and that she herself was the brewer's wife. I began to regret my useless journey and the 7 rubles expended in vain. "What did he die of?" I asked the brewer's wife. She answered that he drank himself to death, and said that he was buried just beyond the village, beside his late wife. "Couldn't someone take me to his grave?" I asked. And she asked her son to take me to the cemetery and show me the postmaster's grave. A ragged urchin, red-haired and cross-eyed, ran up and led me to the end of the village. We arrived at the cemetery, a bleak spot with no railings, dotted with wooden crosses and quite unprotected from the sun's rays. Never in my life have I seen such a melancholy cemetery. The boy pointed to the postmaster's grave, a mound of sand in which a black cross bearing a brass icon had been stuck. I asked the boy on the way back whether travelers ever asked after the postmaster. And he told me about a lovely lady with three children and a nurse. When that lady learned about the postmaster's death, she cried and then went to the cemetery. He watched her from the distance. She lay on the postmaster's grave. A long time she lay. And then she went to the village, the lady, and called for the priest and gave him some money and went away. I gave the small boy a 5 kopeck piece.
Pig, cat, dog, horse, for a dinner course. Tweet, mat, farm, source. Yes, so bloody course. Always making me come to sick. All I want is a bloody steak.
Shining your way, your way.
I want
let the flies fly. Someone back up in the ring, time to take another swing. Barely grabbing on my power, engineering's in reverse. Watch as planets in the sun do a strobe by.
I hear the train is flowing, the sun is shining your way. I wanna hold you on your own. I'm gonna take you away.
My world is burning, my earth is turning.
You keep my mind is rolling.
My world is vibrant, your world is vibrant.
I kinda like. Train is
Куранты, парафини, даравенто, примавера.
Эта история произошла много лет тому назад, пенящей весной.
Je suis la la del country, Pedro Taranta.
С обычным парнем из русской деревни, которого звали просто Педро.
Гаранто да маджес фуртуа па иль кабальеро.
Он страстно полюбил красивую девушку из соседней деревни.
Жугага амгазига жеве смокинг анджибас.
Но боялся признаться ей, что влюблен.
Магистра Веленура штанген циркуль члену мэро.
Однажды ночью, когда он задумчиво возвращался с дискотеки,
fuck off my little baby and goodbye,
его окликнул ее приятный застенчивый голос.
Шершеля пам, где много пункта хера.
Не проводишь ли ты меня до дому, ковбой, спросила она.
Пера спера от астра, баю бай.
Мои родители уехали на симпозиум, и я боюсь ночевать одна.
He gets in many trouble, кокаина.
И глупенький Педро с радостью согласился.
Их дин, я, Volkswagen, наркоман.
Пьянящий аромат любви со страшной силой ударил ему в голову.
And he was very, very small козлино.
На крыльных ногах он последовал за своей возлюбленной.
He did pip-pop from his black and big gun.
Стреляя по пути папиросы Беломор-каналу прохожих.
Oh, Pedro, oh, 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 oh.
Глупенький-глупенький несчастный Педро.
Ау, Педро. Ау, ау, ау.
Он находился в зависимости от наркотиков, которые принимал постоянно.
Эйнштурцен, Тоттенхозен, дер финале.
Придя к ней домой, Педро скромно присел на кровать.
Mein Herz zurück, die schnelle Hände hoch.
Красивая девушка, танцуя, медленно разделась и легла с ним рядом.
They make love, cum sexy, vaginale.
И они страстно любили друг друга всю ночь напролет.
Suppositoria in rectum wall.
А когда взошло солнце, они уже ничего не могли делать.
But yesterday his love rожать bambino.
А через 9 месяцев девушка родила ребеночка.
Синдромо даунито хромо.
Славного, но с небольшими умственными отклонениями.
Во
всем были виноваты наркотики, которые принимал Педро.
Стоп, наркота, эфиро, хлорофор.
И как позже доказали эксперты, порвавшийся презерватив.
And now his sorrow cries, his impotento.
Страшная кара постигла Педро, он ослеп.
His yank висит there вниз and не стоит.
Его веки навсегда закрылись, никогда уже не поднимались.
Goodbye, narcotics, drugs, in un momento.
В порыве отчаяния Педро порвал с наркотиками.
Но yank где все равно there не стоит.
Но зрение к нему так и не вернулось.
Стоп, наркотикс, наркомана, стоп. Стоп, наркотикс, наркомана, стоп.
out dry. A great big Cadillac. Gangsta white walls. TV antenna in the back.
Meine Leibwache sollte mitleiden. Ich habe das unverschämte Glück, meine hochkarätige Mannschaft heute Abend abzusagen und ein Finale aufzubauen, wo die ja nochmal dabei ist. Fangen wir rückwärts an. Aus Freiburg kamen angestellt die Schönen der Nacht mit den morbiden Leidenschaften.